Thank you, Claire, for reading that passage to us. And it's very exciting this morning because I actually have the envelope that Paul used to send the letter to the Philippians. Does anyone believe me? No. It's worth a bit. Yeah. We'll get some more money raised for Tear Fund. What I've done in this letter is that there's two main things that Paul is trying to tackle in the church of the Philippians. And I think included in his main letter, he included a couple of summary words just to help us understand what he's chatting about. But I need someone to come and just take one of these out for me because I can't touch them. They're too fragile and precious. So one person, if they'd like to come and, just take one of the things that Paul is addressing from the envelope, open it up and hold it out. There we go. So what have we got? Oh, you've even done the first one. There you go. Conflicts. Okay, so in verses 2 and 3, Paul talks about the conflicts in the Philippian church, and he mentions one specifically between two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, but there are more conflicts than just that going on in the church. So Paul is trying to address the difficulties found in conflicts, verse 2 and 3. I've got one more summary question. Does anyone want to come and pick one out? They don't have to be a child, but you know, it's up to you. No? I'm going to go and find someone. There we go, Jeremy. Pick out the other summary. There we go. So what else is Paul writing about? There we go. Anxieties. In verse 6, he talks about do not be anxious in anything. And again, the Philippian church had a lot of anxieties. And these are the two things they were facing. They had conflicts and they had anxieties. And in the middle of these two descriptions, Paul gives his advice of what we are encouraged to do. And luckily, there is another summary word in here. One more person. You're all so excited. Oh, thank you very much, Janice. Wonderful. There we go. And Paul's advice is to rejoice. In verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case we don't get it, he says, I say again, rejoice. And this can seem quite strange to us, really, because in our own conflicts, in our own anxieties, in our problems, rejoicing sometimes is the last thing we want to do. Absolutely. And sometimes when we read this advice, we think, oh, Paul just wants us to have like blind optimism, just to say, oh, it's all going to be okay, don't worry about it, ignore the problem, it will go away, just rejoice in the Lord and it will be fine. This is not what Paul is saying. Thank you very much, guys. You can take those with you if you want, or put them on there, we'll recycle them later, or sell them, because the original words of Paul right here. Paul is not encouraging us to be blindly optimistic, or to ignore and hope our conflicts, our issues, our problems are going away. He's merely saying that anxieties, problems, can erode our joy. They work away at our emotions. They take our energy. They occupy our thoughts. And Paul is saying that in these situations, we must remain joyful, rejoice in the Lord. But it is hard to keep our focus on God in our difficulties. Just like those close-up images that we had of the tea bag or the dressing gown, it was a tea bag. When our field of view, our focus, is really up close to something, it blocks our view of everything else. But when we rejoice through prayer or worship or a quiz night, we refocus our eyes on what God is doing, what he has done, his blessings. When we rejoice, the problem or pressure is still there. It doesn't miraculously dissipate. But it's against a different backdrop. It's against a backdrop of God, the creator, the sustainer of all things. And it can begin to reduce our focus on that issue. He's not encouraging blind optimism. Rejoice and it will all go away. It will all be happy. Pretend it isn't there and it will be fine. But he is encouraging people in their difficulties, anxieties, conflicts to see a bigger picture. And we're going to have two illustrations of what this might look like. And just before the service, a member of the congregation shared with me a word that God had told her about a brick wall. And I don't think that she had seen my preaching notes beforehand. In fact, I'm sure she hasn't. But the first image is of a brick wall looking straight ahead. When you are up close to a brick wall, everything in your field of vision is that brick wall or a stone wall. You have a brick stretching out to the right. There are bricks stretching out to the left. All the way you look up are bricks, and all the way you look down are bricks. Everything in your field of vision is the wall. It seems vast
and it seems impassable. And this is what Paul kind of is describing as our anxieties, our conflicts, our problems often seem like this brick wall that we're sitting up against, so close. It is impassable. It is vast. But if you imagine yourself just gradually taking steps backwards from that brick wall, use your mind and imagine it. As you step away from the brick wall, your field of vision is able to take in more of the surroundings. And you realise that the wall doesn't stretch forever in every direction. It doesn't stretch all the way right. It doesn't stretch all the way left. It doesn't just go up and up forever. It was only your closeness to the object that made it seem vast and impassable. Like the pictures of the outside objects, it was the closeness to it that meant we were really, you know, struggling to see what it was. Our closeness to the wall means that we really struggle to see anything else that is happening around. But as you step back, you can focus on the surroundings. You can focus on the bigger picture. The wall is still there. It hasn't necessarily disappeared, but it seems smaller in the context of everything that is going on. The wall is still there, but it's our perception of the wall that has changed in the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Because at the end of the passage, Paul asks his readers to think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. And there is a person that encompasses the perfection of all those things, and that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is all of those things, and what he did for us is all of those things. He was born, he lived, he died, and importantly, he rose again from death. And that is the surrounding picture from the wall. When we step backwards from the wall, we can take in the beautiful countryside that is around it. We have the hills, we have the blue sky that we don't see very often now, with the white fluffy clouds. And those are the surroundings to our difficulties. It's a context and a surrounding that includes Jesus and all that he has done for us. When we step back from the wall, the circumstances might still be exactly the same. The wall might still be exactly there as it was. Health issues or finance issues or school difficulties. Our anxieties might still be there about exams or moving house or relationships. Sometimes it might actually change. Sometimes God, as in the picture that the member of the congregation had, starts removing some bricks and the wall does seem to get smaller. But sometimes it is still simply there as a wall. But when we set it in the context and the surroundings of the beautiful countryside, of who Jesus is and what he has done, this passage, this letter, says that something happens, and it's described by the peace of God. When we come before God with our prayers and our situations, we put before God that wall. Instead of sitting up close so it blocks our field of vision, we say to God, can you help me do something about this wall? Can you make it smaller? Can you help me to see the context of that wall? It says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. When we're up close to something, it's really difficult to see beyond it. And this passage, this letter, says that there's another way of helping us to see the surroundings, and it's the church helping. When he describes the conflict at the beginning, he asks the church to help in the conflict. Sometimes our field of vision is just simply blocked by the wall, and there's nothing we can do about it. We can't take that step backwards. But sometimes it's the people of the church, the family of the church, that can help us to step backwards from the wall, can help us to pray, can help us to rejoice in the Lord and see the context and the surroundings that that wall is based in. Now, the second illustration, I come back to my box, which, remember what the colour of the inside of my box? Black. Yep, everyone can see it is quite clearly black through the little hole that I've put on the inside. Now, as a few members of the congregation were whispering as I wandered around, they had seen this before. Because actually, if you take the lid off, the inside of the box is totally white. It is not black at all. It never was, in fact. It was always white. But there wasn't enough light getting into the box, so it appeared black. Our perception was limited
by the lid that only let a small little bit of the inside of the box to be seen. When we take the lid off, the light floods into the box.
And you can see
that it is bright white.
When we allow the light to shine into our circumstances, either the light in the room or the light of God, it can change our perception to be what it truly is. It's not altered it from black to white. It was always white on the inside, but our perception was limited. What we thought was black, maybe entirely hopeless in our situations, is actually white when we shine the light of God into it. When we're facing difficulties, anxieties, conflicts, problems, we need to allow our perception of our circumstances to change. We need to rejoice in who Jesus Christ is. The wall might still be there. The box is still here. The box hasn't disappeared. It's not blind optimism. It is still here. The situation might still be exactly the same. But the context, the blessings that Jesus has given us, may change our perception. It might make the wall seem smaller than it is. And when we can't do it ourselves, that's what the people around you are for in this church, to help us. Each of us will face something that seems entirely black or entirely impassable. And at that point, it's for the church family to walk alongside them, to help them step back from the wall, to help them take the lid off, to show them God's light. And that doesn't matter what age you are. Sometimes children need to show adults how small the wall is or how white the box is on the inside. Sometimes adults need to do it for children. Sometimes we just need to do it for whoever God puts in our place. We're going to come to a time of prayer now, and we're going to use the image of the brick wall and the countryside to pray for ourselves, to pray for devices, to pray for the world. And there's going to be some times of quiet for you to present your requests with thanksgiving to God. So let us pray. And we're going